Y'all can be seated. Take your Bibles and turn, if you will, to Joshua, the last chapter. And it's 6:29 right here. And it's 5:29 Mountain Time, 4:29 in California. And so I don't know what time I'm preaching on tonight. But I want to try to help you. And I heard about one fellow so long-winded, he got to preaching 15 minutes and then 20 minutes and half an hour and 45 minutes. And a lady sitting towards the back corner said, "Preach on Pharaoh." And he didn't understand quite what she said. It was a little bit distractive to him. And he preached on for an hour. And she said, "Preach on Pharaoh." And then he just tried to ignore her. And he preached an hour and 15 minutes at the end of the service. He was shaking hands, as our custom, at the back door. And that lady came by and he said, "Ma'am, I'm glad you came to church this morning, but you kept saying something while I was preaching. I couldn't understand it." And she said, "I said, preach on Pharaoh." And he said, "My name's not Pharaoh." She said, "Oh, yes, it is, because you won't let God's people go. Praise God." Amen. And I'd like to speak about 15 minutes tonight. I never have done it, but I've always wanted to. It's been a desire of mine for a long time. And some of y'all have heard me before. This internet is a blessing and a curse. My family they're particular about it. I said, "What are you going to preach over there?" And I said, "I don't know what I'm going to preach yet." And "Well, don't preach such and such because they just put it on the internet." Well, man, I can't pastor the United States of America. Literally, I had to preach some things again. B.R. Lakin was preaching, and all over the world. He's a great preacher. Y'all look him up. You men ought to look him up, teenagers. Dr. B.R. Lakin, and he had preached, and a man came up to him, and he said, "Dr. Lakin," said, "I've heard you the last five times you've preached. I've heard you. You preached the same message." He said, "Ain't that something? I've heard you preach five times and can't remember a thing you said." Praise God. Amen. I'm going to try to communicate to you. Joshua, the last chapter, and you find here the final words of one of the most Christ-like characters of the Old Testament. Joshua's name is really Jesus, and a wonderful name. And he's here, and he's given his final address. My daddy, I remember when my sister was conscious enough that during the final days of my daddy's life, she put a tape recorder by his bed. And everything he said for 48 hours was recorded. And that's valuable. I've never went back and listened to it, but I know where they're at. And one day I'm going to. I remember in that 24-hour span, without notes or a Bible, he preached for, I guess, 15, 16 hours on his deathbed, just preaching outlines and giving outlines and sermons and quoting the text. And I'd get happy and say, "Amen." He'd say, "Hush, boy, and you'll learn something. Learn something." So tonight I want you to learn something. Those are valuable words to me. But then when they're divinely inspired words, it ought to make that much more of a soberness to it. And in chapter 24 and verse 14, here's what he says to his family, to those that are around him, to the nation that had followed him into the land of conquest. He said in verse 14, "Now therefore fear the Lord." Boy, we need some of that again. The soberness about the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. He said, "And serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the little g gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. And serve ye the big L Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord." I never thought in my lifetime, and I'm not as old, I'm not the oldest person in this room, but I'm older than some. But I never thought in my lifetime that it would be deemed evil to serve God. You and I are considered the intolerant. They can't stand us. They don't understand, man, we're holding back the judgment of God. When he who will let, friend, listen, when we get caught up, praise God, all hell's going to break loose down here. They'll wish to God they had some missionary Baptist churches. Say amen, pray. Bible-believing Baptist churches. And we're living in an hour where evil is looked as good and embraced and bad. I mean, it's just, it's championed. But the good things are identified as the problem. He said, if it seem evil unto you, then he said, choose you this day whom you will serve. And it's a choice. Whether the little g gods that your father served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose lands you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, I'm not preaching on it, but I appreciate the fact that Joshua didn't have a family meeting and vote on what kind of church he was going to go to. And see what his teenagers wanted and see what his wife wanted. We need a revival of men. Our Baptist churches need men. I honestly believe you turn a man-eating lion in most Baptist churches, he'd starve himself trying to find one of them. Somebody say amen. It embarrasses me. I'll be preaching meetings and churches, you know, and get after the service, I can hear them talk, teenage girls, Daddy, can I go out with Bobby? And Bobby's got 4 or 5 ear bob holes. Somebody help me. Looks like he needs to be wormed and dipped. And amen. And he'll say, well, go ask your mama.
Yeah. Come on now.
How come Daddy can't say no?
Right.
Don't you women bow your head. I'm not even thinking about this. This is all warm up. This is the love part of my message. The hard part's coming. Go ask your mama. Well, why can't Daddy say no?
Yeah.
There's lots of ways to say uh-uh.
Right.
Where I come from, uh-uh means no.
Yeah.
You can say no.
Yeah.
Right. Amen. You can say stuff. You want to go with Bobby to Dairy Queen tonight? No. Uh-uh.
Right.
Say, have you lost your ever-loving mind?
Yeah.
You can say stuff like this over my dead body.
Right.
Yeah. Amen. But learn to say no, Daddy.
Yes.
You don't have to get permission to say no.
Amen.
Amen. He just made a decision for his house.
Yes.
As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I like that. He's dogmatic about it. I was asked not long ago, why do you serve the Lord? I was at a teen meeting, and I think some sincere teenager said, Brother Tony, why do you keep on serving the Lord? And I got, well, number one, I serve because of my pedigree. I was brought up to do it. Bible said, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. My daddy and my mama and the men of God who mentored me put something down in me. And it's in there. And I mean, I'm telling you, I'm here because, man, I was raised on drugs. I was drugged Sunday morning, drugged Sunday night, and drugged Wednesday night. And all I've ever known is the house of God, friend. And I like it. Amen. I mean, amen, I love it, and I want some more of it, praise God. I enjoy it. This atmosphere is where I'm the most comfortable, and I praise God for it. And I was raised to do it. And I'm tired of hearing you Christian kids complain about a godly parent.
Come on now. Come on.
You could have been raised by some dope head.
That's right.
With track marks up and down the arm, and you could have been raised by a prostitute.
That's right.
Selling her body. But you ought to thank God for a Christian home.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. I'm tired of preachers' kids whining.
Yes.
Shut your mouth.
Yes.
And everything give thanks. You ought to praise God for that. We got a rich heritage. And some of you might not have been brought up in that kind of atmosphere, but you ought to praise God for the influences that God has allowed in your life. A bus captain came by and knocked on the door. A Sunday school teacher or a preacher came by and got you in this church. Amen, Brandon. Well, thank God, Brandon, for the influences that God has put in our lives and got us here. Glory to God for that. And I serve him because I've been invested in. And then I serve him because, man, you know, I've got a position to serve. Everybody in here is important. We're laborers together with God. Heard about one fellow said, I ain't going back to church, told his wife. He said, I'm tired of church. I ain't going back. And she said, do what? And he said, I ain't going back. Said, all they do is talk about me over there. Said, every time I go to church, I hear them whispering about me. They make fun of me and said they're mean to me. And I ain't going back. And she said, well, I'm going to give you 3 reasons why you better go back to church. Number one, because the Bible's preached there. She said, Hebrews 10:25 said, not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together as a matter of summons, but exhorting one another.
Yeah.
And so much the more, not less, as you said, they approach in Bible camp. And number 3, you the pastor, and if you don't go, who's going to preach tonight? Praise God. Amen. That's funny right there. Y'all go ahead and laugh. Because I'm coming for the juggler here in a minute. And we all have a place to serve. But don't weaken the wheel. Each spoke Jesus needs. And you play a vital role.
Yes, sir.
I looked over here. I was looking for you a while ago, and I seen you moved. People know when you moved. This man stole your seat. Y'all knock him out. Praise God. Amen. Y'all listening to me? Everybody okay? People notice when you're not here. They see you when you're going. And I serve him. And then I serve him because the dividends are out of this world. It pays to serve the Lord. It pays to serve the Lord. But Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, I need your touch tonight. And I'm grateful for these men that have come and the preacher brethren, a sister church united with us. I'm grateful for the faithfulness of the people here at Cornerstone. And I pray your blessings upon this area. Let these churches be beacons for the truth and old time religion. And Lord, as we preach this message tonight, I pray it would fall on good ground. As I desire to be filled with the Holy Ghost from the top of my head to the sole of my feet to preach the word, I pray you'd cultivate an appetite for spiritual things among even the youngest here. And let them leave here with a handle on truth so that they can be better used in these dark hours of this Laodicean church age. Boy, it's cold. It's indifferent. And set a fire in us tonight. For we ask it now in Jesus' name, and may long live old time religion till you come again. Amen. Why would he make such a dogmatic statement, or really rather, how could he make such a dogmatic statement? Yeah. On his deathbed, it's recorded he's fixing to go to heaven, and just before he draws his last breath, he said, I just want to say one more thing before I check out of here.
Yeah. Come on now.
I come in here worshiping God and serving God with Moses. I crossed over the Red Sea. I crossed over the Jordan River, and I come in here the old time way, and I want you to know leave out that way.
Yeah.
As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, I like that dogmatic attitude.
Yeah. Yes,
amen. You got to make up your mind. You got. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it.
Right. Come on,
longevity in our movement, man, it's short-lived in these days.
Right. Yeah.
Everybody's changing and bailing out. I'm dropping a name. If it don't say Baptist on the sign, I got a problem with it. Is everybody okay?
Yeah.
Amen. If it don't say church on the sign,
right,
I got to pray. He said, upon this rock, I'll build my church.
Yeah.
Amen. And the gates of hell shall not. I'm a local church man.
Amen.
Everything I know about the Bible, I learned in church.
Yeah.
I got saved in church. I got baptized in church. I met my wife in church. I got married in church. I don't like all this getting married, jumping out of airplanes, riding bulls. God help us, man. If you're going to bring God into it, bring it in the house of God. Don't bow your head. I'm not ready to pray yet. I'm trying to preach. I don't like all that doings. Bring it to God's house. Amen. Sanctioned under the authority of a local New Testament. If it's happening at church, you ought to be there. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, every night of the revival. If the doors are open, that ought to be your priority. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto it. We ought to prioritize the house of God. Amen. I'm just trying to get warmed up. I'm trying to see who ain't liking it. Because I'm going to sit in your lap while I'm preaching tonight. You better start acting like you like it. Man, he had such a dogmatic spirit about him.
Yeah.
I want that. That's contagious. You're a product of your environment. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools will be destroyed. If you hang around old negative people, you'll be negative. But here Joshua was one who was gung-ho, him and Caleb way back yonder on the other side. They knew they could take it. 10 bad spies and 2 good ones. And he had God's plan in his life and a purpose to serve him. And so tonight, real quickly, give you some thoughts, and then we're going to a restaurant. We got reservations. I'm going to make sure I stop in time for that. Somebody say amen. His life revealed a desire. Amen. I serve the Lord. I believe Joshua served the Lord. Right, we're going deep now for these theological pearls tonight. We're going to dive deep now. Number one, I serve him because I want to.
Amen.
I want to. I'm a new creature. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Now, before you jump on my wagon, I'm not talking about an eradication of the flesh. I'm not talking about a second working of grace. I'm not talking about sinless perfection or a second blessing. But tonight I got resurrected from the dead spiritually. Some of you boys might not be saved. Some of you just might gotten saved. Listen, you got raised from the dead when you got saved.
Right. Yes, sir.
You got passed from death unto life. You was dead in your trespasses and sin. And when I got saved, man, I became a new creature. I was on a slick road already to hell, condemned already. I'm talking about they wasn't waiting to drop the hammer of justice. Y'all watch me. They wasn't waiting to drop the hammer of justice. It's already been fallen. I was born wrong. Amen. The psalmist said, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. Amen. All we like sheep had gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. Man, we're in a mess. But I got saved, man. It's real to me. Some of y'all, it might have been so long that y'all getting over it.
I pastor enough.
I've been to the same church 35. I've watched people just get used to being saved. They forgot how it was lost. They forgot how good it is. Remember when you first got saved, you wanted to read the Bible and you felt bad when you didn't? You wanted to go to church. You liked that victory in Jesus. Boy, you wanted to sing it. There was a yearning on the inside. Amen. That's because you're a new creature. Amen. Praise God. I'm telling you, hey, and I believe the evidence in Joshua's life was he had a desire. He wanted to. I'm burdened about you if there's no change when you get saved. It's not the change that saves you, but the change is the evidence of salvation. We're not saved by works. No. But I'm telling you, you get saved by the grace of God, something will happen to you. When the maniac of Gadara got saved, he put some clothes on him. I said he put some clothes on him. And he quit gouging himself with them stones. Self-inflicted. Amen. He quit wallowing around with a bunch of dead people. When you get saved, your friends will change, Hoss. Hey, friend, your company will change. You won't be with them dead anymore. You won't be where the living are. Something happened when he got passed from death. When he got resurrected, that was evidence. Amen. You get born, there's going to be some evidence.
Yes, sir.
I got 300 and something pounds. I live in a neighborhood of 300 pounds, and it's a big neighborhood. Somebody say amen. But I got evidence. If I was coming through, you fall and my truck broke down, and I stopped up there at the home, at the camp, at the ranch. And I said, "Can I sleep in one of these beds?" "Oh, yeah, come on in here." And my wife, I texted her before I laid down, and I said, "I'm up here and you fall at the camp, at the boys' home, at the ranch. I'm going to get it right in a minute." And so the next morning, she calls. And she calls and gets your wife on the phone and said, "Sister, have you seen my husband? Tony Hudson." And she, "I don't know." Well, if she'd go in there in that bedroom where I laid, there's going to be some evidence. There's going to be 7-8 hairs at least. Amen. Every hair of your head's numbered. I was taking a shower a while ago. Someone went down the drain. I said, "God be with you till we meet again." Praise God. There'll be some drool and slobber on the side of that pillowcase. The sheets will be messed up. You can't waller up there like a hog in a bed and not mess the sheets up. It'll be pulled off of two corners of them. I don't care how good you tuck them. Is everybody listening to me? When she goes to the kitchen, there's going to be a plate there where I've eaten a dozen eggs, a loaf of toast, and a side of bacon. Somebody help me. A jar of jelly. Amen. There's going to be, listen, I can't hang around and not have an imprint. You talk about I've been saved for years and didn't know it, my hind leg. You can't be born into the family of God. Hey, you can't become a child of God and not know something happened to you. You're going to know it. And I serve him because I want to. Man, I just got new cravings. I like things that I used to didn't like. Not only is it a new creature, but I got new cravings. I desire the Bible. As a newborn babe desires the sin, sin may glory, he may grow thereby. And I like these things I didn't like before I got saved that naturally when I got born again, I was attracted to it. Now let me say that our appetite spiritually sometimes has to be acquired. He's talking about people here that heard me preach this morning and never been around that. I mean, someone was looking at me like a calf at a new gate. Amen. And they never seen. And I'm just trying to preach. But some of the things that you learn in church after you get saved, you've got to get used to it.
That's right. Yes, sir.
I've never got used to eating Yankee cooking. You go up north, all they have is casseroles. All a casserole is something done, look like somebody's done eat it and spit it back in and put some cheese on top of it. Somebody help me. Where I grew up in Tennessee, hey, we have two meats, the one left over from last night, if there was any left over, two or three vegetables, cornbread and biscuit. Is everybody listening to me? Gravy every meal. Is everybody okay? Man, if your wife's casseroling you, you got gypped for a wife, Bridget. You all right? Amen. That's Yankee food. I can't stand it. I remember the first time my mama cooked turnip greens. Y'all probably don't know what that is down here.
Amen.
Turnip greens, collards,
right.
Mustard and kale, all that old stuff. Man, my mom, first time she cooked, I didn't know. She come in the house, I vividly remember I was a young boy, and she had two paper sacks, grocery sacks, and she went to the sink and she dumped them in that sink and she started running water over them,
right.
These turnip greens. And when she did, she washed them off and sand and grit gathered in that sink. And she moved them from one bay, we had a big old two bay sink, she'd moved them to the other side. And I looked at all that dirt, and I said, Mama, I ain't going to want them. I don't want none of them. She said, you're going to lie. Hush, boy. You'll like it. I said, I ain't going to like it. I don't think I'm going to like it at all. And then she washed them again, ma'am, and moved them back over to the other side, and they were still sand and grit. Little chips of rock. And I said, well, man, bite that, it'd chip his tooth. I said, I don't want none of that, Mama. I ain't going to like it. She said, you're going to like it. Hush. And then she went to cooking them. If you've ever smelled turnip greens, cook. I mean, it's just not the aroma that you're looking for. And man, them things, because she cooked them all day long, you could smell them outside. And then when she got them ready to serve, and at our house, you couldn't just pick and choose. If it was on your plate, you had to eat it. And I tell you who needs a whooping, these mom, he don't like nothing but chicken tenders. Mama needs a whooping. Somebody say amen. He don't eat anything but pizza. That's your fault, ma'am. You ought to make it. Hey, listen, he'll learn to eat. I got a dog that'll eat rocks if you starve him long enough. Somebody say amen. Amen. Stay with me. Now, hey, and you got to learn to like some of this. Some of y'all right now are a little bit too abrasive for you. But I ain't stopping for you, praise God. You better just get used to it. And I remember she dipped out them turnip greens and it looked like a chaw of tobacco. It's somebody had done chewed and spit out. And I said, Mama, I ain't going to like it. She said, hush, boy, you gonna like them. And she's cooking that Spam with it. Oh, yes. And she had some of that hot water cornbread, them fritters. And she had that, and she had some pepper sauce to put on it. Amen. I don't know if anybody can understand me. It's not a foreign language. It's English. And boy, and I was looking good. I wanted that Spam fried, and I wanted those fritters and butter on them. Hallelujah. But I didn't want a bite of them turnip greens. And I took a little old bite. When I bit in it, it slid. And it stuck on my tooth. I said, yow. But now that was 56 years ago. You better not put no turnip greens in front of me tonight. And if your hand gets in the way, you'll lose a finger. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I learned to like them. First time she said, we're having squash. I said, I don't want nothing done been stepped on. Leave your feet off of mine. I don't want squash. I don't want that at all. I don't want mine squashed. But I learned to like it.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something, friend. The more you take into this Bible, the more you adapt to preaching and submit yourself to the authority that God's placed over you, hey, neighbor, you'll learn to like it. And you'll have a desire for it. You'll have an appetite for it. It'll increase. You'll want more of it. And the more you take it in, the bigger your stomach gets, the more you can handle. Some of you just kind of eating like a bird when you need to get a big bite. Say amen. I want to. I got new cravings. I got, I'm a new creature. I got new circumstances. Serving the Lord It's better on accident. Hear me, sir. Than all the time that I was out of the will of God when I did all that on purpose. It's better serving God. The circumstances are better. Amen. There ain't nothing like it. I started the first church at the Bullock County Correctional Institution, is what they called it. But it's not a correctional institution, it's a penitentiary. I thought I made that point last night. It's not a correctional institution, it's a penitentiary. You're not an alcoholic, you're a drunkard. You're not chemically dependent, you're a dope addict. Don't get nervous. You're sinners, what you are. You're not the victim. Everybody in there, I'd visited the penitentiary. I got set up. I was framed. Every one of them had a record long enough. Man, listen, you trip right walking around in the office with it. Help me now. And I started the first Bible study church. And I was invited to go visit the isolated cells. And man, it's crazy in there. And I already got claustrophobia. I don't like going in and at the door. Big old thick glass. And they was cussing, saying stuff I ain't never heard people. Words I never even heard. I mean, I've heard some deacon's wives say stuff kind of like it. But, I mean, it's just crazy, just to bile talking. And I went in there and I walked by one of the cells. And I'm telling you, man, it was so loud. And just screaming, hollering. And I walked by one of the cells, and this fellow looked over at me. He said, looked out the window. He said, "I perceive that thou art a man of God." Well, dude, I got on a white shirt. I got a pocket full of gospel tracts and a King James Bible under my arm. I said, "Yes, sir, I am." I said, "Who are you?" He said, "I am Jesus of Nazareth." I said, "Man, I've been wanting to meet you. But I never knew it'd be under these circumstances." I said, "Where are you from?" He said, "I'm from the regions of Galilee, born in Bethlehem, raised in Nazareth." I said, "Where's your people from?" He said, "Oh, down there around Birmingham, Alabama, praise God." Well, y'all listen to me. That happened. I've been laughing on that for 40 years. When I get depressed, I think about that wild-eyed joker. Man, he was out of his mind, high as a Halloween cat's back, gone. Man, I'm talking about crazy. But hey, serving God, it's just good, friend. That'll dry and flake off. That spit will dry and flake off in a minute, praise God. Watch me. Hey, it's better serving God. I've never had to come from a business meeting at a church, come from soul winning visitation, and have to check my bumper for hair and blood, see if I've run over anybody DUI. Never. I've never gone on knocking on doors, had to come back and look, make sure I hadn't run over somebody. Never been pulled over for driving. And I've been under the influence. I've been high on Jesus, man, full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Enjoying life. But I ain't never been. I'm talking about. I've never been to a church. Not one. Never been to a church meeting. I'm talking about. I've been in some rough ones too. Then last time we had a business meeting, our deacons was frisking people at the door. And they asked me, he said, "Preach, you got a gun or an knife on you?" I said, "No." They said, "You better get one if you're going in that meeting right there." Y'all okay? Listen at me. Listen to me. Hey, serving God is a blessing. It's not just an obligation. It's, praise God, it's a privilege. To be here tonight, praise God, most of these liberal churches ain't even having Sunday night. They cutting off everything but Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Amen. They're not, hey friend, you ought to praise God for this place.
Amen.
Amen. I serve Him because I want to.
Yes, sir.
I'm worried about you. The Bible said, if any man desire the office of bishop, he desireth a good work.
Right.
Something's wrong if you don't want to.
Yeah.
Hey, you got to want it. You got to want that Bible, that appetite. I've never had to teach a baby to eat. I've raised four young'uns and raising grandchildren now. And listen, I've never had to beg them to eat. When they're hungry, they'll tell you. Amen. I want to. Number one, I serve Him because I... Help me, y'all. Act like homeschoolers. Everybody say, "I want to."
I want to.
I serve Him because I...
Want to.
I serve Him because I...
Want to.
I serve Him because I...
Want to.
That's what Joshua's life revealed. He had a desire. Number two, he had dedication.
Yes, sir.
his life revealed that he served him because he ought to. We've been given a weighed responsibility. And too much is given, much is required. You could have been born in some third world country like Chicago, Illinois. Help me now. You could have been born in some Islamic rag-headed, rug-riding camel jockey genie in a bottle, bunch of hate the Jews and hate the Bible. Hey! You could have been born in some world like that, but you was born in America. Most of us born under the shadow of the steeple, praise God, wrapped in a Christian flag when we got saved. Hey, what about them other people? I ought to serve him. I'm an American. I ought to serve one nation under God, indivisible. It's still in there. Hallelujah. With all her faults, ain't nothing place, ain't no place like this place. I'd rather live in America with my back broke, bless God, as any other country walking good. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Y'all ain't helping me. Hey, man, right there, Brother Tony, say on. I ought to serve him. I've been entrusted with the faith. Jude said, earnestly contend for the faith, not a faith. That's that body of doctrine that we adhere to. Praise God for the virgin birth, the vicarious suffering of Christ, the verbal plenary expression of the Scriptures, His victorious bodily resurrection, the promise of His visible return. Man, that ought to motivate us.
Amen.
He's coming pretty soon, sir.
Yes, sir.
If I was in here lost, I wouldn't mess around another night.
Yes, sir.
I'd get saved so fast it'd make your head eyes roll back in your head.
Amen.
He's coming, friend. I'd quit playing around. Well, just because you're religious, you'd be religious and go straight to hell. You better get in. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, are you in? Are you in? Man, I serve because I ought to serve him. I've been entrusted with a body of doctrine that I'm talking about. There ain't nothing like it. I've been enlisted in a fight. Bible said, fight the good fight of faith, endure hardness as a good soldier, put on the whole armor of God, and that's not soccer shorts now. It's, when I talk about, hey, serving God, the battle we've been called to fight, it's full contact. That's why you got to wear a helmet of salvation.
Amen.
This ain't tennis, neighbor. Hallelujah. Oh, we fight to old Hinkle Little from over in Western North Carolina. They asked him one time at Glen Haven. They said, Brother Little said, have you fought a good fight? And he's a good preacher, stood all those years. And he said, no, but I've been in a good one.
Yeah.
Fight the good fight of faith. We have a purpose.
Yeah.
I got a purpose to get up in the morning.
Yeah.
I don't understand these liberals, bunch of contemporaries. What are they doing?
Come on.
No visitation, no soul winning. What are they doing anyway? Practice, and all they do is rehearse for the next show. And God ain't within 1,000 miles of it. I said, God ain't within 1,000 miles of it. That's 10,000 miles from God. They can hear that in the honky tonk. They can hear that at a hip hop joint. Y'all listen to me? Hey, neighbor. Hey, I serve him because I ought to serve him. I've been given something. I've been entrusted with the faith. I've been enlisted in the fight. I've been entangled with the foe. Bible said, be sober, be well aware. That's a good word, fellas. Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking who may devour. He's walking up down these aisles tonight, seeking who he can devour. The word devour, ma'am, doesn't just mean to kill. It's a slow, torturous death. Killing's too good. What God wants to do is give you a slow, torturous life so that your testimony can be ruined out in the community. What the devil's trying to do, the God of this world, he wants to devour you. He walks about trying to devour you. He's a real live enemy. I've met him. He's in Murfreesboro. He's right there where I pastor. Not too long ago, Debbie and Mike, they're bus captains, and Debbie had gotten saved when she was a little girl under Lee Robertson and got baptized by Lee Robertson. She got out in the world and we were visiting. She's living there in Murfreesboro. She moved to Murfreesboro. And we was knocking on doors trying to get kids to ride the bus. And her son, Eric, rode the bus, started riding the bus, and he got saved. And we went back to see her to see about him getting baptized. And he went to the door and said, Mama, said, they're here. They want me to get baptized. I got saved. And she, boy, she knew what all that was about. And she said, well, okay. So she came that Sunday morning and we baptized Eric, and she is living with this man. And I'm talking about, man, this dude, he had hair just dragging the ground. Had every kind of hook in his nose and ear. Looked like he had a head-on collision with a tackle box. Looked like he had a Rapala hanging out of his mouth. And I mean, this joker, I mean, just, and they come, his name was Mike Bursajay, he's Cajun. And they came and they listened to me preach, and she got under conviction because she is living wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
She got under conviction about it, and she wanted to get it right.
Yeah.
Hey, man!
Good. Yeah,
good. Boy, she come to the altar weeping. Boy, they got right. Mike wasn't saved for 2 years. He kept coming. He got saved.
Amen.
When I baptized him, that old hair was floating up there. I just pushed it down. Helped it under. Y'all okay?
Amen.
Wasn't long. He kept coming. Got a little. He got him a King James haircut. Is everybody all right?
Amen.
Looked like a man. Praise God.
Amen.
They started captain route three.
Amen.
They didn't miss for several years. And Debbie's mama was having a birthday party back in East Tennessee, and she said, "Brother Tony, I won't be able to visit this Saturday. This is the first time we've missed in 2 years." But said, "Can somebody visit my route for me?" And I said, "Well, sure, Debbie. That'd be fine. I mean, they're faithful." And so I came to bus meeting Saturday morning. I said, "Route one." They said, "Here." "Route two." "Here." I said, "Route three." Nobody answered. "Route three." And I was about to say, "Where's the sorry dog captain's route three? Shouldn't have called in. He should have crawled in." And by the time I said, oh, she's in. I said, "Route four." I went and visited route three. I got her logbook. I went over there to the project, sir. It's over there. It's on January Street. In Murfreesboro, Tennessee, January Street, February Street, they got them all named like that. They're trying to teach them, you know, the months of the year. So they can remember when they was born. Poor people. Drugs. When I walked up, to first stop was Bubba and Sissy. Man, the South, Bubba. Help me. That's everybody. We got so many Bubbas at Middle Tennessee Baptist Church. If I say, "Hey, Bubba," 14 people say, "Huh?" We had to name my boy, we named him Bubbo. Y'all okay? And it was Bubba and Sissy. And on my way to Bubba and Sissy's door, I was kicking back hypodermic needles. I was kicking back Boone's Farm Wine and Mad Dog 2020. I was kicking back in Schlitz Malt Liquors. I was kicking back rolling papers, boxes, little envelopes, plastic bags. Y'all all right? I'm not talking about a third world country. I'm not talking about the mission field. I'm talking about Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
Yeah.
I had to kick through that and get it. And I knocked on the door, and Bubba comes in. Bubba's kind of tongue-tied. And Bubba come up to the door, and I knocked on the door. And Bubba come up here. He said, "Bubba Tony. Well, where's Miss Debbie?" I said, "Man, she's gone to her mama's birthday party. But we're going to be by at 8:30 going to pick y'all up. Bus will be by." And he said, "Sissy, come here. You ain't going to believe who's here. Bubba Tony's here." And he goes, she said, "Uh-uh." And he said, "Yes, it is." And she come around the corner. She said, "Brother Tony, where's Miss Debbie?" I said, "They had to go to East Tennessee. Her mama's having a birthday." And I said, "We're going to be by to get y'all in the morning." And Sissy said, "We can't come, Brother Tony." I said, "What do you mean you can't come?" She said, "We're dirty. And Miss Debbie wants us to dress up." I said, "You ain't got to dress up." I said, "Just get a good bath. I mean, y'all get cleaned up and get ready. We just want you to come to church." She said, "Oh, but I want to wear church clothes." And I looked over there while I'm talking to them two youngins, laying on an old rat-looking couch was a whoremonger laying over there. I'm talking about unfaded out. And when they heard me talking, her mama, Sissy's mama, and Bubba's mama said, "Hey, Brother Tony, like, we love you, man. Hi." I looked on the coffee table. They had all them roaches laying up there, real ones and them ovens. Had them doobies laid up in there. Had all kind of a big old bag of weed. Had half drunk beer bottles. And I said, "Sissy, we'll get y'all in the morning." And she said, "We got our water cut off. I can't wash." And so I don't suggest you do this. But I called my wife. I said, "Start running the hot water."
Bubba and Sissy's coming. They're going to get bathed. I'm going to Walmart and I'm going to get them something to wear. I went over and got Bubba little old pleated khakis with a pair of them black shoes that kind of looked like Harley shoes with them cleats on them. Somebody say amen. You know they can go both ways. Church or, you know. And then I got him with him with clip-on ties because I knew as soon as service over, he was going to skip that off. And I got him a white shirt and I got her a little dress. I got her a nice little dress. What did I get her? A nice little dress to wear. And boy, I got her some of them tights and boy, we got her fixed, got her some little shoes. And we come back to the house. I'm telling y'all, the devil's real. We came back to the house and when you walk in my house, we have everything at my house. You open the refrigerator at my house, it's chuck full, Hoss. If it ain't, I'm fixed to flip something over. Because I want to know why you spend all that money, ain't nothing in here.
Amen.
Man, I opened my door and old Bubba said, Brother Tony, is them juicy juices in there? And I said, yeah, they are. You want one? He said, hey, I want two. And I handed him a juicy juice. Listen, we got red top milk in our refrigerator. We got bottled Coca-Colas in our refrigerator. Y'all all right?
Yeah.
You better believe we got juicy juices too, Hoss. And he reached over and he did it and sucked that thing just like that. And y'all laughing. But I immediately got thinking, now they've been out of school since Friday. They rode the bus home. They ain't had nothing to drink. The water's been cut off. They ain't got no Coca-Colas in the refrigerator because all they buying is dope.
Yeah.
I thought, man, and Sissy was over. I said, Sissy, you want one? She said, yes, sir. Boy, I'm telling you, you said, well, what about, listen, they're all over this place.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
They're all over Oklahoma.
Yeah, that's right.
They're all over Eufaula. Yeah. Just like them. You ain't got to go to some mission field.
That's right.
Yeah. Just walk across the street and look what's over there.
Yes, yeah.
They dying on their way to hell. I serve him because I ought to. I've been entangled with the foe. That devil's real, man.
Yes, right.
Yeah. You need to learn to resist him, fight him.
Yeah, right.
I serve him because I want to. I serve him because I ought to. Here's the last point. We go into the house. No, I'm not. I'm going to go eat some. Number three, I serve him because I'm afraid not to.
Amen.
Whom the Lord loves, he chastens, Hebrews said, and he scourgeth ever. This is supposed to be every, but where I come from, they say ever. They scourge, and he scourges ever, son. If you can live in blatant disregard and God not chastise you, you ain't no more saved than a jaybird saved. One of the greatest assurances of your salvation is you can't do wrong and get by with it. I'm afraid not to. You see, would fear motivate you? You better believe it. And you boys in there learning stuff, you better not go back.
Yeah.
You think you had it rough the first go. Look up in here in my eyes. Everybody watch me. Hey! You better get serious about this thing, friend. I'm afraid not to. I'm afraid not to keep serving him, friend. I don't want them whoopings. Them whooping. That whooping, that's the next thing to the electric chair. Lord don't spank you, he whoops you. He'll get your attention. And I try to live right, but I can't even get in a good fight with my wife and not feel bad about it. I was leaving to North Carolina going to hit I-40. I was going 70, 96 to 70 and 70 to 40 east. And I was going to North Carolina because anybody that slobbers gets to preach in North Carolina. And I get a lot of meetings over there, praise God. And right before I left, my wife said something to me, and I said, huh? She said, you heard me. And I said, I'm going to tell you what your problem is. You acted like your mama now. She said, what you going to do about it? I said, I tell you what, what's your problem? You didn't get no whoopings when you was little. Don't look at me like that. You go blind. Take a picture to last longer. She said, nyeh, 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 nyeh. I said, yeah, yeah, back at you. I got in that truck and I started to the meeting. Had my King James laying right there, right there in the front seat. I got about 35 miles from the house and it's like the Holy Ghost moved in on the front row. He said, gonna be a good meeting tonight, ain't it, Hoss? You're probably going to preach on the home. It's going to be a good one tonight. Man, he's whooping me. You going to go over there and try to help somebody and look how you acted. You go over and try to influence some people for God. Look how you acted. And I started to reach for my cell phone, and it's like, I had to turn that thing around, sir. And I drove all the way back to the parking lot of the church, walked up to the parsonage, knocked on the door, and I heard her in there. She's crying. And she said, "It's all my fault." And I said, "No, it ain't my fault." And she said, "No, it ain't, Daddy. It ain't. It's my fault. I said, look, you just keep on. That's your problem. I said it's my fault. Now, please quit. Give me a kiss. I got to go preach." Are y'all listening? That's funny whether you want to laugh or not. Y'all stay with me, neighbor. Hey, friend. Hey, can you sin and it don't bother you? I'm afraid not to serve it. I don't like that discomfort. I don't like that conscience. I don't like him when he has to get on me. Amen. I've been sitting in meetings before, and I felt like the Lord wanted me to say something in a preacher's meeting or somewhere, and me sit back there and say, "I better not say nothing. They're going to think I'm trying to take over the service. They're going to think I'm showing off." I've been sitting in a meeting, and Holy Ghost say, "Start singing such and such a number." And I'd say, Lord, I ain't doing that. I can't sing no how. And if I act like that, they're going to think, man, you're talking about getting whooped. Yeah. Leave that service, and I should. How many have ever been in a service and thought you should have praised God and you didn't? Yeah. How many have ever thought you should have gave a testimony and you didn't? Would you raise your hand? Yeah. Quit lying in here. God will strike you dead while I'm preaching. Yeah. How many have ever quenched the Holy Ghost? Yeah. Right. Come on. Come on. Man, it's awful. Yeah, sir. And be miserable. Waiting for the next opportunity. I'm saying, "Lord, if you'll touch me again, I'll say something." Yeah. I don't want that feeling.
Right. Yeah.
I don't look over my shoulder and say, "I wished I had."
Yeah.
I want to be able to say, "I'm glad I did."
Yes,
yeah.
Yeah.
Right. I serve him because I want to.
Right.
There's something wrong if your want to.
That's right.
Has been dampened.
Yes, right.
It's dwindling. You ought to want to more tonight. But be honest with you, I want to more tonight than I've ever wanted to serve the Lord. I'm excited about it. I'm thrilled about it. What an opportunity to preach here tonight. I value this. I ought to. If we don't do it, do y'all honestly think these charismatics are going to do it? They're so confused. They're as confused as a termite in a yo-yo. They a Pentecostal church right across the road from us, that they're building a new building, and put that in it. And we was going to look at their building to pattern it. We might build a building like that. And I went into the fellowship hall, and they had a sign that said, "Pray for these to be saved." Had a big old list. And then they had another sign that said, "Pray for these to get the Holy Ghost." And y'all know how tactful I am, because I don't want to offend nobody. And I went and I said, "Hey, preacher," I said, "what's this over here? Them need to get saved. Them need to get told. What you mean? They all need to get saved." He said, "Oh, no, these have been saved. They just hadn't received the gift of the Holy Ghost." I said, "Well, my Bible says you have not the Spirit of God, you're none of His."
Right. Yeah.
When I got saved, I got baptized in the body by the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
That's what happened to me. I didn't have to evidence with no tongue talking.
Right.
Handling snakes, drinking poison.
Right. Yeah.
Amen. I got saved. I got baptized in the body by the Holy Ghost. One Lord, one faith, one baptism.
That's right.
Sir. Exactly right.
Yeah. What you need is a whole lot of this right here.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
You need to lock in and rip the knob off that thing.
Yeah.
And say, "Come hell or high water, live fed or die skinny, I'm going to keep serving God this old time way."
Yes.
Yes.
And you'll be glad that you did. Heavenly Father, take these thoughts tonight.
Praise God.
What an hour we live in, an hour of compromise, an hour of inconsistency. And there's that example, old Joshua of old. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Help us to have a desire, increase our desire. Help us to be dedicated. And remind us of the discipline when we're out of your will. God, help us to draw nigh. There may be somebody here lost tonight. If you're here and you're not sure if you died, you go to heaven, would you be honest enough to raise your hand and say, "Pray for me, I'm not sure I'm saved.
I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't have a peace in my heart that if I died, I'm going to heaven. Pray for me. I don't know that, but I don't want to miss heaven. If I can go, I want to go. How many's praying for somebody that's lost? Would you lift your hand? You think about somebody that needs to be saved? God knows who they are. Pastor's coming. You mind the Lord. Let's stand together. While she plays, you mind the Lord. Don't quench him. Don't breathe.